Perseverance. There's no greater place where perseverance is needed than in personal relationships with people. Without perseverance in relationships, the relationships drift into the waters of formalism and suspicion. David was brought into a relationship with King Saul that would test his perseverance. He never knew his perseverance would be tested while dodging spears. I want to talk today about dodging spears. Really, you can't get through life or relationship with any degree of relationship, personal or in the job, without spears coming your way. Spears are basically to try to discourage and to prove that you are not the worth that God says you are. When someone throws a spear at you, it's to humiliate you. And we're going to find out with King Saul and David some lessons that David learned. Is that okay? Perseverance is giving God your best character despite outward conflicts. Persevere in relationships is to give God your best character when the spear is thrown at you. Oh, yeah. That's when the rubber really meets the road, isn't it? That's not really a test when everyone loves you and saying good things about you. It's when someone throws a spear at you is the test of our character. And you know what? Character has to be formed and developed and matured. Throwing a spear quickly back at somebody is basically a sign I haven't worked much on my character. Anybody can do that. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to jump right in here. This is a story, of course, of David and Saul. Saul, of course, was appointed and anointed and called. But somewhere down the line, he didn't develop his relationship with God, number one, and number two, his character. Both of those are really should be the priority of our life before works and even callings should be who we are. Because who we are, we take into eternity. 1 Samuel 18:6, and it came to pass as they came, talk about the women, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, joy, instruments of music. Now this was a party. A party was going on here. They were celebrating the victory. Wow. The women answered one to another. Actually, the Hebrew says they sang. They were singing one to another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Wow. All of a sudden, the party is going to go south after that saying. Saul was very wrong. And the saying displeased him, and he said, can't you just hear the tone? They have ascribed unto David 10,000. But to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but kingdom? Yeah. Now this is a man that was anointed by Samuel. You know, I'm finding out as a Christian, even spirit-filled, doesn't mean that I don't throw spears at other people. So, Saul, he thought about that. He thought about that. How many times have we thought about stuff people said to us and heard us, and 6 months later we're still thinking about that? I don't know about you, but my high school years, I didn't like them. Things were said to me. Things were said against me. Cruel stuff. Spears. But the problem with most of us, because it happens to everyone, we didn't have the Word of God. I didn't even know about David and Saul and spears. So I didn't have anything to say, well, I'm not picking up that spear. You see, bitterness is only fed because the spear that was thrown at me, instead of ignoring it, I take it and let it get into my heart. Verse 11, David was playing up there, worshiping before Saul. Saul just couldn't contain himself. Saul cast a spear, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided out of his presence twice. Listen, you got to avoid certain people that all they do is throw spears. And you know, I found out this, that sometimes they're not throwing the spear at you, but they're throwing the spear at someone years ago that hurt them, or hurt them last month, but because you're in their presence, they throw that spear. But I don't like being around people throwing spears, because they might miss the one 6 months ago and hit me. See, people who throw spears, nothing is ever right. But they're right. See, the major problem, Brother Mike, with Saul was, he said, what else can he have with the kingdom? He's not talking about the kingdom of God, he's talking about his kingdom. Because even though he was given the kingdom of God, he switched and started making Israel his kingdom. It's my kingdom. It's my church. It's my ministry. It's my kingdom. And when he did that, he was threatened. Why didn't he say, you know what? I'm getting older. I can only kill 1,000 now. David, 10,000. Thank God. You know, I'm mentoring him. I'm going to bring him up. I'm going to retire. I'm glad there's someone that can take my place and go farther than I want to. That's the only shift Saul should have had. Not like, I'm going to protect this kingdom. It's not mine to protect or yours to protect. It's God's. He put it up one and take it down another. And without that attitude, churches have split. Churches have done this because I've got to do my kingdom. And then when people go, they throw spears and they throw things. And God's up there grieved by the whole thing. But you know, somewhere there's a David. Somewhere there's a David. He's not trying to get power. He's not trying to control. He's not competing. He's not ambitious. He just loves God. That's what God is looking for in you, sir. God opens the door. You can go to the door and kick it all you want to, but until you've gone through the process, you're not ready for it. If you get something you're not ready for, you can go get your pilot's license right now and do a solo. But guess what? The next day, Delta's not going to hire you to be the man in the first seat to fly their plane. You're not ready. And I always examine, like, God, don't give me anything. Number one, I'm not prepared for. Number two, it's not the time. I've had enough crash and burns in my life. If King Saul would have just mentored David, got rid of the jealousy, he wouldn't have died like he did on the hills of Gilboa. You see, there's David. He sang Psalm 23, hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus loves you. And what is interesting to me, Pastor Ben, and this is kind of sobering. David was producing the presence of God. And Saul still threw the spear in the presence of God. Just because they come to church and I'm not going there, you see. We all want to think we don't throw spears. But you'd be in the presence of God and leave and throw spears. Now, this one didn't say, oh, there's a temperature, this ain't right, that ain't right, I don't like this. Those are just fears, honey. We're in the presence of God. And you know what? God says, I want to change that in you. Because I can't give you any more of myself or my kingdom if you just got those fears. I want to give you four things when spears are thrown at you. How many had a few spears? Yeah, raise your hand, you know you're in denial. Last week you had a spear thrown at you. You know, the other 2 weeks ago you had one thrown at you. It's just interesting. Yesterday was a little thing. We're helping this one woman and just throwing spears in the wife. It's just interesting, you know. It's like, why? Come on. None of us are really prepared for the spirits. When a spirit's thrown at you, the first thing is escape. Everybody say escape. Listen, David didn't say, oh, I'm just so humble, just keep throwing your spears at me if you kill me. He said, no, it's time to escape out of this relationship. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is taken you that is not common to man. That word is also translated trial. There's no trial that you have that's special. Everybody deals with this. But God is faithful. I would say God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you've been able to endure it. The word is also persevere in it. God's faithful, David. Guess what, David? He made you quit. You're not going to get it. But you know what? I'm sure David was shocked. You know what the irony of this is? David loved Saul. We see that when Saul died, the thing he wrote, oh, Saul and Jonathan were lovely in their lives. Saul was involved. He did not even criticize him in his death. No wonder God trusted him with the seed of Christ coming through him. No wonder God trusted him with the Psalms. No wonder God trusted him with the sweet psalmist of Israel. No wonder Revelation talks about the key of David. It's not whether I trust God. Can God trust me not to pick up spears when my carnal flesh wants to throw it and get even with somebody? You better escape, honey, because even if they're throwing spears at other people, you'll be at the crosshairs once you don't do what they say or line up what they want. Second thing, don't take it personally. That's where it's difficult, baby. That's where it's difficult. I remember when I was 15 years old walking home from basketball practice, and I had been dealing with seizures, grandma seizures. They'd come to the hospital and take me out my ambulance. And some guys on the basketball team told my brother, you know, is your brother retarded or what? My brother told me that on the way home. Devastated me. I don't think I ever got over it until I got saved. But anyway, I didn't know then not to take it personally. You see, Saul was obsessed with jealousy. I'd love to say, after all the years of preaching, I've never met Christians that were jealous, but I'd be a liar. Paul said, put me in church. Why was there strife? Were there strife? Is it, you know what strife is? Strife is a battle for who's going to be in charge. And usually that's done with jealousy. 1 Samuel 18:9, Saul went to David with suspicion and jealousy from that day forward. Can't take it personal. You know what kept David in his relationship with God? Not how much he worked in the temple. His relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why David didn't take it personally. If our relationship with Jesus Christ does not allow us not to take things personally when a spirit comes, and our relationship is too shallow. Like the bride, you know, she's on her bed. The voice of the beloved comes to her, says, rise up. Not that she didn't love the groom, but she had fallen. In the lethargy, which is between kind of discouragement and passion, she's in the middle. She says, I've taken my shoes off. Why should I get up? You know, I'm in bed. Why should I get up? It's only her bride. Or only her groom talking to her. She finally got up, went to the watchman, and then the cop says they bruised her. In other words, they said, man, what are you doing? They took her veil away. They said, hey, man, proclaim church. Get a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was a little while after they said that, and she found him, and she held him. She goes, you know what? Thank God for the watchman, because I could have backslid. Don't take it personally. Everybody say personally. Don't take it. Third thing, don't become a spear thrower. David could have picked that spear up, and if he could kill a giant with a stone, he could have thrown a spear. Because that big, they go hand in hand. Oh, you can pick up the spear And you can go to school and learn how to be a spirit thrower. And you can hang around people and that's all they do their whole life when they come. It's all negative. Everything's negative. Everything's throwing spears at this, throwing spears. And you can hang around them and start the spirit club. And you can be an expert when you come into church. You need to throw this one, that one. That one never says hello. This, how can we sing this song? How about that? Why don't we do this? You're just an excellent spirit thrower in the presence of God. Never building anybody up. Don't pick up spears. Don't be negative. Isn't the world negative enough? How many believe you might be a little more positive? I got both hands up and I put my feet up. I don't want to pull them. God allowed David to go through this to get any Saul out of it. Okay, God, why are you allowing the first king of Israel, the first anointed king, why are you allowing him to go insane and persecute David for 17 years who has to live? Why are you doing that, God? Can't you just kill Saul? Never accuse God of allowing things that are hard in our life. This is what God was trying to do. He was trying to get all the Saul out of David. Folks, it's in our DNA to be negative, to talk about people we don't agree with. It's in the recesses of our minds to be judgmental, critical. And we just dismissed it because we're so spiritual. God said, I had one throw spears. I will not allow another king to throw spears. David learned the consequences of Saul's behavior before God. And although he was in the cave writing Psalm 3, oh Lord, how increased are they that trouble me? He was also saying, oh my goodness, God delivered me from anything that's like that man. I pray for me, I don't want to be like that. And you've got to come to the place in your life sometimes when people go, I don't want to be like them. I don't care if they prophesy to me. I ain't going to be like them. I don't ever want to be like that. Not quiet. God doesn't like ugly. And when I throw a spear, it's ugly. And I can try to justify it. God says, you know what? You're not a David, you're a Saul still. You can't even give anybody a word of encouragement. You're so jealous of everybody. Your ego's so big, you can't even serve. You think God's just pleased me just going through life, whether I do his will or not? Saul. God allowed David to go through this. Get a model. You know, the first deception is saying, I don't have any Saul. Well, let me just rewind the tape of the last 6 months and see if you've ever spoken about somebody to somebody else or criticized somebody unjustly without the facts. Let me rewind the tape and see if you've not done that. That's a spear, and God, it's recorded in heaven. Unless I repented of it, I'll have to give an account of judgment day, Jesus said. So, y'all got to watch the Saul and let God deal with it. Amen. Fourth thing, learn the lessons God wants you to learn during this. How many believe we still got lessons to learn? Amen. We believe we got lessons to learn about relationships.
Amen.
In the house of God, in your family, at work. You probably notice at work there's probably someone has a motor mouth and they're just talking about everybody all the time. Spiritual, the spirit that God sent. But guess what? It's kind of cushy and wishy, warm and fuzzy when they talk about others. But guess what? When you're not there, they're talking about you. Get away from it. This is what Peter said. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but counterwise blessings. Knowing that you are there to call, that you should be or a carrier of the blessing. David didn't pick up the evil spear and throw. We have to dodge spears in this life. It's harder to dodge, it's harder to do it and persevere when there's someone I'm in a relationship with or was in a relationship. It's harder. It was harder on David. It was astounding that King Saul would do that, stoop to that level of carnality. But know this, until our minds are totally transformed, they can swoop to that lowness of jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy is kind of hard to see, but it comes out in our words, and it usually is to put someone else down so our jealousy is covered. But never forget this. You don't have to tear someone else's furniture up to get your own. And if you just leave them alone, and admit to God and man that you are nosy at times. I have a German nose, mine's bigger than those. That you and I can be the nosiest Christians alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says be silent before God. That all their enemies are. Why am I saying this? Spears are up. What are we going to do? Be a David. All the years of worship, all the years of hearing the word, all the years of prophecy. What do we have now? What do we have? Do I have a heart after God? Am I trying to build my kingdom using His kingdom? Hebrews 12, 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does up so easily beset us, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. I'm going to ask you, as we close here, are you ready to get rid of your spear? Are you ready not to pick up a spear? Are you ready to escape from those throwing spears? If that's you, I want you to come up as we sing this last song. I'm up here because I want to get rid of my spears. Let's stand up this morning. You don't have to come down, but I tell you what, I would like to know when I leave this house, I'm not going to pick them up. I'm going to take them out of my closet, and I want to be free and ask God. I want to be a David. I don't want to be a Saul. I can say I'm anointed. I can say I'm called. So is Saul. I can say I'm appointed. I can say I prophesied. So is Saul. But David wouldn't pick them up. And we're just going to ask God today to help us dodge the spirit.